we can.
What are they doing over there anyway? Oh, they're voting? I'm a no. I have no idea what it is.
Turn it down.
Okay.
Super far.
I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 3079.
Which is it?
Diane?
I hope we don't get it out.
Okay. Chair Cruz and members of the committee, House Bill 3079 was first heard on April 6th. It directs the MHCDSC to maintain and enforce an existing day and residential treatment services standard, commonly known as DART, for division approval of a psychiatric day treatment service program for emotionally disturbed children and adolescents. It directs the division to apply specific rules in lieu of general rules applicable to intensive mental health treatment services for children. There are -1 amendments and -2 amendments. -1 amendments replace the bill. I have attached those amendments to my summary that I gave you. The -2 amendments include a program for emotionally disturbed children and adolescents accredited by the Joint Commission on Accreditation of Healthcare Organizations or any similar national accrediting organization that is recognized by the division.
For the committee's information, I had a conversation with Pam Curtis about this bill this morning. There are still definitely some concerns about it, but she said that she, and I can't speak for you, but she said that it's something, the issue could be dealt with in the Ways and Means process. Do you want to speak to that at all, or? About I know you've got kind of another plan.
For the record, I'm Madeline Olson, Assistant Administrator for Mental Health Services for the Mental Health and Developmental Disability Services Division. And for the record, again, the division opposes House Bill 3079. We've had conversations with Pam Curtis from the Governor's Office. Based on conversations she's had with the proponents of the bill, about their concerns around the rate structure for these programs. They're widely variable rates. They're historic in nature. If that were the solution people wanted and not the reinstatement of an older set of standards, the division and the department would be willing to work to set up a process for evaluating the rates, and undoubtedly that would have a fiscal impact for the next legislative session.
And which is, I think, a viable discussion to have, which is why I would prefer to send this to Ways and Means so that discussion could happen down there. But, and Mr. Van Hurst?
Well, I was just going to ask what you're talking about, the dash ones? Or you're talking,
come up?
Are you talking about the bill, or?
Chair Cruz, Representative Barnhart, the dash one amendments came very late during the public hearing, and I think the proponents of the bill were opposed to them. The division would accept them. The dash two amendments, the division and department are opposed to.
I see. So if one set, one group's opposed to the other set, the other group's opposed to. I got it. Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Bruce Bishop here on behalf of the Oregon Association of Treatment Centers, which is the Association of Day Treatment Programs for the state. We are in support of House Bill 3079, and we are offering the -2 amendments to remove from the bill those programs that have both residential and day treatment programs. That was a request that was made of us by programs like Trillium, Albertina Kerr, and they felt that since they were already subject to other accreditation standards nationally, that they didn't want to be subject to the DART standards. So they asked to be removed, and we've offered those amendments. We would respectfully request that the committee move the bill to the Ways and Means Committee so that both the rate issues and the regulatory issues can be considered together. There are clearly fiscal consequences involved in this area, and we would be pleased to have the Ways and Means Committee address those as part of the division's budget.
Senator Lee.
Thank you.
if neither of you agree, why would we want to move the bill at all, or why do we need to move this bill?
Mr. Chair, Representative Lee, on behalf of the DARTS programs, we would ask that you move the bill.
And so, Bruce,
we were not able to reach agreement with the governor's office. We did have a couple of meetings with them to talk about both the standards and the governor's and other issues, including the governor's budget recommendations about not including even a cost of living increase for DARTS programs and community mental health programs.
I think Representative Monis Anderson was ahead of me.
Oh, Representative Monis Anderson.
I'm sorry I came in late. Maybe you've already discussed this, but it now looks like with the amendments it creates three rather than two separate standards. And the amendment exempts some DARTS programs, but not all from those standards. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Representative Monis Anderson, the amendments will leave DARTS programs that also have residential program components alone. They will continue to be subject to both the state standards and to national accreditation program standards that they're reviewed under.
So, Bruce, just for the record, you support the twos but not the ones?
Mr. Chair, that's correct. The dash ones would replace the bill in its entirety, and I believe those were the amendments initially offered by the governor's office.
Okay. Representative Barnhart.
I'm wondering if are we in a work session?
Yes.
I'm wondering if we aren't. I mean, the thing that concerns me about this bill and the idea of a reference to ways and means is that we're really confusing two different kinds of issues. One is the financial issue, which may very well be a very significant one, and which certainly Ways and Means ought to deal with. The other one is the issue of the way in which the regs get written and are enforced, and the legislature sort of dipping down and preempting a piece of the regulations that have to do with one segment of the mental health treatment. When, of course, what we're trying to work toward is an integrated system of community services. If we have to have a bill on this issue, a planning bill that asks for a response for plans might make sense, and that would be the dash ones. I think the dash twos just simply make things more complicated because they add another layer, another standard for certain groups to follow. But the bill itself, all the bill itself does is allow a small segment of the service community out of having to comply with an integrated plan. And I don't, given what we're, where we're, the direction we're moving in providing health services, I think that's exactly backwards from where we ought to be going.
Mr. Chair, Representative Barnhart, with all due respect, I don't believe that there is any system that has a unified planning approach to it or a uniform delivery system, and certainly in the area of children's mental health, we don't have that system. I frankly don't believe that we're getting to that system. What we do have are a number of DARTS programs across the state that are community-based, that have been operating successfully for years under DART standards, and the imposition of a whole new set of regulatory requirements that will ultimately have the effect of driving more costs and probably producing less services by their imposition. And we're trying to find a balance between the cost of those regulations and direct services, and that seems to us clearly an issue that the Ways and Means Committee can help address through the budgeting process.
Again, if I could follow up, I'm still having trouble understanding how preempting regulations is either a Ways and Means issue or well, I can see where it could become a budgeting issue.
Mr. Chair, Representative Barnhart, one of the specific issues is a requirement, as I understand it, and I can't cite the specifics of additional child psychiatric care being available in the DARTS programs. For many of the DARTS programs, that's a very expensive proposition because there are not child psychiatrists available to attend case planning meetings and staff meetings. And so the imposition of that requirement is having a direct cost, and the state is, at least in the governor's recommended budget, is not coming forward with additional resources to help the programs meet those costs. For these nonprofit local DARTS programs, that means that they're going to have to step up to meet the requirement and reduce services in other areas, and that's going to present a very real problem for the local program.
Okay.
Representative Broad.
I kind of agree with Representative Barnhart, and Bruce, I would ask you this question. I'm a real proponent of the DARTS program. I think it's working, and I don't want to see it go downhill or have new restrictions put on it. And I'm at this point a little confused as to what your position is.
Mr. Chair, Representative Girard, our position is that the Mental Health Division has come forward with its intensive treatment standard rules that don't work for the DARTS programs and add additional costs unnecessarily. We have a system of rules and standards that have been used by the DARTS programs for years, and we think that those programs should be allowed to continue to operate under those standards.
Rebuttal?
Well, as our testimony previously made clear, we think that a unified set of standards across the levels of care is critical. We think that looking at issues like seclusion, restraint, timeout, isolating children needs to be done often, and that in standard you need to have the best practices that are research-based for those kind of extreme behavior management measures. I think we described before the kind of extensive open process we went through to adopt that rule.
Representative Lee.
Thank you. I'd like to ask each of you what would happen if there was no bill.
Mr. Chair, Representative Lee, at least from our perspective, the division has announced its intention to repeal the DARTS rules, has not actually done that, so I can't say for sure what would happen. We end up with both rules being potentially applicable and the costs that would derive from that.
I'm not understanding that answer. Does that mean it would be detrimental if we didn't pass this, or that it really wouldn't matter?
It would be detrimental in that we would still have the additional costs.
Mr. Chair, Representative Lee, from the division's perspective, it would leave a single set of standards to help begin to bring together a full system of care for children and adolescents who have the high-end mental health needs.
Madeline, I guess I wonder how a single set of standards, how does that allow flexibility for different environmental settings and different geographical settings?
Mr. Chair, the rule allows the programs within the confines of the financing structure that they're under to have the flexibility to move children around the levels of care that they need based on the individual child's profile and needs. So when you have the bigger programs like Trillium, they're able to provide varying intensities of service under that umbrella, knowing that their case record and all of the quality improvement requirements that are in the rules will be the same relative to that child wherever it is served in their system.
Okay, what about the... I mean, are there requirements as to the number and type of care providers that are associated with a facility? I mean, relative to population, obviously, but.
Mr. Chair, there are some staffing standards relative to the age of the children and so many children per so many staff, that kind of thing. And there are standards regarding how much psychiatry time is involved in the program, depending on the level of need that the child served in the program may have.
Representative Barnhart?
Well, I think one of the things that I think applies in this integrated system is that when you transfer a child from one program to another because of changing needs for that child, it does mean, doesn't it, that because you have a unified system of regulation, that you have the same advantages that you do within the description that you gave of the Trillium program.
Mr. Chair, Representative Barnhart, that would be true, and that would particularly be true from the family perspective, because they would have a known set of family and child rights across the levels of service.
And a follow-up, if I may, Mr. Chair. The other piece of this that I find interesting is that this also makes it easier, doesn't it, if you have this integrated system, to understand, to figure out where the gaps are in the level of service that you're providing, because you do have an integrated system of regulation?
Mr. Chair, Representative Barnhart, that would be the case, and it also allows you to begin to see the system more as a whole, so that you can, as we learn more about children and their development, we can begin to create things that aren't this and aren't that, but are the in-between that we don't have.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I would just like to conclude by noting that we believe the DARTS programs are successful, have been successful for a number of years, and are already well integrated into their communities and into the delivery system for mental health, and that the new standards aren't going to benefit children or families in that regard.
Well, I'm fully supportive of the DARTS program, but I think at this point in time, this bill has a constitutional problem. So I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 3079. I'm going to open our work session on House Bill 3103.
Okay, Chairperson, members of the committee, House Bill 3103 was last heard on March 29th. It appropriates $13,730,000 to the Department of Human Services for the Oregon Project Independence. It declares an emergency effective July 1st, 2001. There were Dash 1 amendments that spoke to an audit of liquid assets for purposes of eligibility for OPI, and added a sliding fee scale for services, and authorized the agency to provide information and refer clients to appropriate services. I believe the Dash 1 amendments have been brought forward to the committee by Representative Barnhart.
Who brings us most of our amendments?
That was me.
Well, Mr. Chair, you may be pleased to know that I have done some further investigation and evaluation of this issue, and I've had substantial conversations with a large number of people about the Dash 1 amendments, and I don't propose to move them.
Well, Representative, how do you feel about the bill itself?
I think it's a great bill. We ought to move it.
Well, would you be willing to make a motion?
I'll move the House Bill 3103 to the Ways and Means Committee with a new pass recommendation.
Representative Barnhart moves House Bill 3103 to the Committee on Ways and Means with a new pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, clerk call the roll.
Representative Walker?
Aye.
Representative
Aye.
Representative
Aye. Aye. House Bill 3103, having received the required majority, is declared passed. And I will close the work session on House Bill 3103. And I will open a work session on House Bill 3951.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Point of order. Didn't this need to go to Ways and Means?
It did.
And that's what we passed?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, thank you. I missed that.
You were correct, Representative. Diane.
Chair Cruz and members of the committee, House Bill 3951, in the original form of the bill, establishes a tobacco settlement fund and allocates monies from that fund to the Department of Transportation, to the Commission for the Blind, to Oregon Health Division, and to Mental Health and Developmental Disabilities Services Division. It declares an emergency effective July 1st. You have before you Dash 1 amendments. The amendments remove the creation of fund from the bill and allow a one-time appropriation to each agency for the 0103 biennium. So it appropriates tobacco settlement money to the Department of Transportation for elderly and disabled for their transportation needs, appropriates money to Commission for the Blind for continuing of their existing services, appropriates money to Oregon Health Division for County Health Department, and appropriates tobacco settlement money to MHGDSP for counties to provide mental health services, and does also declare an emergency effective July 1st.
Sure. Yes. I have a question about the Dash One amendment.
Yes. Okay.
For the dollars that it says to go to the county health, county health department,
mm-hmm.
to improve communicable disease services. Does this mean like safety net clinics would get it? Can counties use this for safety net clinics, or is that for what?
Ben, do you want to come up there and address that?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Gordon Foltz with the Association of Oregon Counties. The intent was really for the public health portions of the responsibilities of counties. Safety net is a separate bill already sent to Ways and Means specifically. So, although we're certainly favorable to that as well.
I was wondering because I noticed that the amounts were very similar.
Yeah, Representative Cromwell, I think with all the bills we sent to Ways and Means, we sent the entire tobacco settlement. But
that's okay.
For the next year.
But that's for health care. So,
Mr. Chair.
Representative Cromwell.
I move the Dash One Amendments to House Bill 3951.
Representative Cromwell moves the Dash One Amendment to House Bill 3951. Is there any discussion? Any objections? Hearing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Cromwell.
I move House Bill 3951 to Ways and Means. Is that where it's going? Is Ways and Means? To the Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Cromwell moves House Bill 3951 as amended to the Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Representative Tomei.
No, that's Representative Anderson.
Not me. Oh, me?
Yeah, you're in the blue dress.
That's all right, Chair Krupp.
Well, now you're getting mean. Representative Moynihan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to make sure that it says that here almost $1 million is going to the Department of Transportation, and I'm sure that that's correct. I just know that the Department of Social Services has transportation issues also. I forget what it's called in Clackamas County. Yeah. But I guess I want to know if that money is to help, if the funding to the social services gets money from the Department of Transportation for the transportation of the elderly and disabled. Do you know what it is?
Mr. Chair. Yeah, Most of the local monies come through the department for senior disabled services, right. Transportation services come through the Department of Transportation,
okay.
And that's why you would want to take these dollars and put them through the Department of Transportation, so that then they would put that as part of the pot that gets dispersed out to the counties and cities.
Representative, when I was doing some of my research about what transportation might provide to local communities, I did find some programs that have been developed at the local level from some grants that have been provided to the local communities through the Department of Transportation for creating transportation for people that were elderly or disabled and that. And it was the Department of Transportation dollars that it was going for people to get to the doctor and to get to the grocery store and to get to the pharmacy and
Thank you. Any other questions? Hearing none, clerk, call the roll.
Representative Walker.
Aye.
Representative
Toy. Aye.
Representative
Barr. Aye. Representative Barr. Aye. Representative Barr. Aye. Representative Barr. Aye. Representative Barr. Aye. Representative Barr. Aye. Representative Barr. Aye. Representative Barr. Aye. Representative Barr. Aye. Representative Barr. Aye. Representative Barr. Aye. Representative Barr. Aye. Representative Barr. Aye. Adjourned.
All right.